Shines up the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of Glory, the King of. together. Welcome all of you here this morning. Welcome to Grace Point Church. Maybe you're new here this morning and we hope that you feel comfortable. We are just going to be singing a few more songs and then after we have a ton of great things planned. We have lunch, barbecue lunch and some games and different things. I will let them explain that to you later. But it's a wonderful day to be here for our fall kickoff. So we're just going to continue. We're going to continue singing songs about Jesus, what he's done in our lives, how we're just needing him in our lives, and how we have hope. because of Him.
Higher than the mountains that I face, and stronger than the power of the grave, and constant in the trial and the change, one thing remains. Stronger than the power of the grave, and constant in the trial and the change, one thing remains, one thing remains. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me.
Doesn't ever run dry. It's awesome. This morning we're going to have a scripture reading from Matthew chapter 11, and Rebecca is going to read for us out of the New International Version.
At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Through it all, it is well.
truly confess that when we step into your presence, when we understand that you are our loving Heavenly Father, when we truly can grasp your greatness, your power, your love for us, your care for us, then we can truly, truly say, it is well with my soul. It's at this place where we can find rest, true rest, when we come into your presence, when we find ourselves wrapped around the arms of an all-loving Father. And this morning we pray that this may really speak into our lives and our hearts. You know exactly where we're at and what we have experienced this past week and how we have come here this morning with what kind of thoughts in our hearts and our minds. You know what takes away the rest and the peace that we would strive and would long to have. You know this all. And this morning we pray that we can all bring it before you, that we find that moment, that place, this morning, during this time of worship and this service, that we can come into your presence and have a deep sense of your care and of your passion for us, so that we can come to rest. Thank you, Father, that your presence is here this morning, and we pray all this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. I was about 9 years old when I attended something that is very familiar or very similar to Awana. And during that time, I vividly remember one of the teachers there who spoke so clearly about Jesus Christ that influenced me to become a follower of Jesus at the age of 9 years old. Several years later, I was attending high school. There was a teacher who taught German literature. It's one of the things that you have to take, or I had to take, and you just try to get through because nobody's interested in that. But this teacher really made a difference in my life. Somehow his passion that he had for the subject and how he introduced that, it changed my life. It changed my interest in literature and in history. Several years later, I was in Bible school, and there was one of the professors there who just spoke very clearly about what it means to become a Christian. And although I always thought I was one, I think for the very first time I understood what it was. This is the kickoff for the year, for our church year, but also for school year. And there's many among us who are in many way or the other are influencing other people. And we're thankful for you. We're thankful for what you're doing. And we're thankful for how you change lives. And I want to talk to you, especially who are teachers and coaches and everything, that you will never really know how you will impact lives, because probably few ever give feedback and tell you exactly what you did and how you changed my life. I never, sadly, talked to those teachers who changed my life. So you are in a very predominant position to influence people's lives. And I would like for all those who are in this church and teaching in some capacity in this church to stand up, please. That would include the nursery caregivers, Grace Kids team, Awana, Route 67, youth ministry, whoever is involved. Please stand. Yes, thank you. Please remain standing. Remain standing. And then I also would like to stand all teachers who are in the school system, who teach in public school, private schools, in some capacity or the other. Please stand. Also those instructors in higher education who are in universities and teach in those capacities. Then also those coaches who coach hockey or soccer or anything during this next year. Would you please stand? You make an impact on the lives of people that you touch. And I want you to know that. And for that purpose, we want to pray for you, that God may bless you, that you do your ministry or your job diligently, knowing that God will use you to impress on kids, on students, something very important. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for everyone here who has, in some way or the other, touched our lives. Thank you for all the teachers and people who have influenced our lives and changed the direction of our lives. And we probably have never taken time to really recognize them, but we thank you for them, Jesus. And here among us are standing a group of people who are in some capacity or the other are teaching right now, influencing children and students, young or youth or adults. And Father, we pray that as this new season of teaching starts, either in this church or outside this church, that you will put a very special blessing on each one who is involved in teaching others. Let them do their job with diligence, knowing full well that in some form or the other they are touching lives, and that you will also impress on them that some lives will change forever through their work. Thank you for them. Give them courage. Give them new strength. Give them the freshness of presenting the subjects that they are teaching. And then we pray that as they do this, that you reward them in spite of what they may get as rewards on human terms, but that they find their reward simply knowing that you know them, and through them you will change this world. Thank you again for everyone among us who is in this capacity, and we pray that your presence may rest upon them and your spirit may give them wisdom, discernment, and insight into those things that they are teaching. We pray all this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. So please be seated.
Good morning, everyone. My name is George. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you. At this time, we'd like to dismiss our children, age 3 to grade 5, to their time of worship and teaching in the Grace Kids Ministry area. We're also going to dismiss our grade 6 and 7ers to the youth mezzanine for Route 67. It was great worshiping with you. May God bless you as you go to your time of worship and teaching. You received a worship folder on the way in. Inside of there is a message outline. I invite you to take that to hand now as we continue our journey through the Gospel of Matthew. And today, consider a life-changing invitation from Jesus. First of all, let me just say it's great to have all of you back. Some of you have disappeared for the summer. It's good that you're back again. Welcome home. When I go home after being gone for a while and I ask Shauna, did you miss me? She always says, with every bullet so far. But we are truly glad that you guys are here. We're looking forward to a great ministry season this fall. We're looking forward particularly to a great launch barbecue right after the service. So we do invite you to stick around and enjoy lunch. Take some time to reconnect and catch up with one another after the summer. I don't know about you, but I really do enjoy receiving invitations. I enjoy receiving an invitation to have a meal with friends, to go to a concert. I particularly enjoy receiving invitations to go play a round of golf. I even enjoy receiving invitations to go to weddings and birthday celebrations. And usually when an invitation arrives in printed fashion, somewhere on that little card are the cryptic letters written at the bottom. You know what those are, those four little letters? RSVP. I think most of us know what those letters mean. They're an abbreviation of a French request to reply to the invitation. In French, it's répondez, s'il vous plaît. Unfortunately, not everybody knows that. A couple found political asylum in the U.S. during the Second World War. They had come from Eastern or Central Europe, and they were not very well versed yet in American culture. And one day they received an invitation to a wedding, and at the bottom of the invitation were those cryptic little letters, RSVP. And in his thick European accent, the husband asked, "Wife, what does it mean, RSVP? So together they thought for a little while, and in a moment of inspiration, the husband said, "Wife," because this is how Eastern European husbands address their wives, "Wife," right? "Wife, I know what it means, RSVP. Remember, send wedding presents." They made a mistake by imagining that the message was a demand, when in reality, it was an invitation. Sadly, there are many people who throughout the ages have made the same mistake about God. They think that doing life with him is a demand. They think it means taking on the heavy burden of keeping rules and performing rituals of religious living, when in reality, it's an offer, an invitation to relationship. And unfortunately, there are many people who still make the same mistake with Jesus Christ and the gospel. They think that entering relationship with him is a demand, when in reality, it's an offer of a lifetime, a life-changing invitation. In Matthew 11, 25 to 30, the verses that Rebecca read for us earlier, Jesus voices what are among the most tender and appealing words ever spoken. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And Jesus spoke these words into a desperate and burdened religious climate. The people of Jesus, they were tired, they were worn out, they were burned out on religion. The majority of those who went to listen to him as he traveled throughout the Palestinian countryside would have been from a Jewish background, and they knew the demands of the Jewish law. They would have heard and felt the weight of the teaching of their rabbis and Pharisees. Don't do this. Don't do this. The 600 plus laws of don't do this, do this and this. Make sure you do this. Avoid that. The demands of the law blurred, if not cloaked, what was to be devotion to God and caused people to become exhausted spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And it's into this political and more so spiritual, religious climate that Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So inviting and so powerful are these words of Jesus that they've been immortalized in different ways. They're words that are sung in the aria of Handel's Messiah. They have found a home in the Anglican Book of Prayer. For myself, I can never hear these words without remembering a time in my life where I was on the verge of burning out. And these words breathed life and hope to me when life seemed so heavy and burdensome. I was in a desperate place spiritually, just longing for rest. And then I read these words of Jesus in the Message translation where he says, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. I desperately wanted to recover my life. I longed for rest. Jesus extends this invitation, an invitation like no other to us. He extends this invitation to you this morning. And we'll take a closer look at it in a minute. But there are two statements that he makes about himself. Two statements that talk about how it is that we can come to know God before he offers us this invitation. It's a precursor of sorts to understand who it is and what it is that he's inviting us to. So here's what Jesus says. You can take your outline and follow along. Jesus says this right off the top. He says, God is revealed only by me, by Jesus Christ. In Matthew 11:27, he says, no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Only Jesus knows God and only he can make him fully and finally known. God is known partially in other ways. We see him in the beauty of what he's created in this world and our vast universe. We recognize him in the moral demands of our consciences. We see his fingerprints in the unfolding developments of history. Yet even though creation reveals his glory and our consciences point us to his righteousness and history highlights the power of his providence, nobody tells us of his love for people, his desire to redeem sinners and guide us into an eternal quality of life except Jesus Christ. And this is why every inquiry into the truth of Christianity must begin with the historic person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, if you want to get to know God, you got to get to know me. And the second thing Jesus says is, God only reveals himself to those who are humble. In verse 25, Jesus prays, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and have revealed them to little children. The Greek word used here for little children is actually the word babies. And by babies, Jesus meant not the young in years, but those, whatever their age, who are truly childlike and humble in their approach. Babies in the vocabulary of Jesus are sincere, humble seekers after the truth. From everybody else, Jesus said, God hides himself. But I don't want you to misunderstand this. This is not a call for us to bury our head in the sand. It's not a declaration to suffocate our intellect or deny the importance of thought. It's simply acknowledging that our minds are limited when it comes to God. God is infinite in his being, and we are limited and finite. Our minds, capable of they are, of remarkable achievements in the sciences and engineering and the arts, our minds are lost when it comes to conceiving of who God is, of understanding him. And if we somehow, in our enlightenment kind of mentality, get on our high horse and look down our noses at God to scrutinize and criticize him, friends, we will never find him. It's not only ungracious and irreverent to treat God in that way, it's unproductive and unhelpful. If we see God in that way, Jesus says, you will never find him. If on the other hand, we become like little children, we humble ourselves and we confess our inability to discover and comprehend him, and we read the Gospels with open and unprejudiced minds, with the mind of a little child, Jesus assures us that God will reveal himself to us. God reveals himself to those who spiritually seeking are little children. And I wonder if there's somebody here this morning that has never really found God? Could it be that you've been seeking him in the wrong spirit? God hides himself from the intellectually proud and puffed up, but he reveals himself to those who in humility seek him. What's required of us is not that we close our minds, but that we actually open them. Not that we stifle them, but that we humble them. So here are these truly amazing claims that Jesus made, these two truly amazing claims. God hides himself from the haughty, but reveals himself to the humble. And God is revealed first and foremost and finally by Jesus Christ. And with these words hanging in the air, these truths before the people's eyes, Jesus offers them a grand invitation, an invitation that will change their lives. Jesus invites us, first of all, to come to him. He says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, those of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Jesus invites us to come to him. Let me ask you a question. What do you normally turn to first when you're struggling spiritually, when you're stressed out, when you've got too much coming at you too fast and life has gotten very heavy and very burdened? What do you turn to for relief? Do you turn to Jesus as your first choice? When life becomes too much, who or what do you turn to? For some of you, maybe the first thing that you turn to is a television. You just flop down on the couch, turn on the TV, and you want to escape into a different reality. Others of you, you turn to food. This is what I do. I find comfort in food. They're always talking about comfort food on the Home and Garden TV channel. Did you ever watch that? Like, what is comfort food? Everything is comfort food for me. Some of you turn to a pill. Others of you might turn to drink, looking for hope at the bottom of a bottle. Others of you will turn to a hobby to zone out and zone away. Others of you turn to shopping because a new outfit, a new pair of shoes, or a new toy changes everything, right? Others of you just want to go on vacation. I got to get away. The problem is when you go away, you take you with you, yeah? Jesus says, none of these things are going to meet your need for rest, for real soul rest. None of these things are going to provide lasting help when you're burdened by it all and it seems to be too much and you feel like packing it in. None of these things will make life better when you're faltering under the weight of your anxieties, your fears and temptations, your responsibilities, or when the dark cloud of loneliness is looming. They won't help you when you've got this sense that life really doesn't have much meaning or is devoid of purpose. And they certainly won't help you when you're burdened by your failures or when your conscience is carrying this load of guilt from the sin in your life. They can't relieve your emotional, spiritual tension. They're not going to work. They might prove to be a temporary diversion, but they don't work on your heart and on your mind and in your soul, giving you the rest that you need and crave. None of these things can provide real soul rest. Only Jesus can give you rest for your soul. It wasn't too long before this that Jesus said, those who are healthy don't need a doctor, but only those who are sick. And so Jesus invites us to come to him with our spiritual sickness, when we feel the crushing weight of our burdens. And the very first step to take toward Jesus is simply a frank and humble admission that we need him. Jesus offers us something we need. Nothing keeps people away from Jesus Christ more than arrogance and unwillingness to acknowledge that they need him desperately. So what does Jesus offer with this invitation to the burdened and the weary? He offers to ease their yoke, to lift their burden, to give them rest and to set them free. Nobody else can do that but Christ, for he's portrayed in the New Testament as the supreme burden bearer. He bore our burden when he died on the cross. Jesus is the bearer of burdens. If we come to him, he will lift our burdens from us. And this is at the very heart of the good news of Jesus Christ, that the Almighty Creator God, that he loves us. And in spite of our sin and our guilt and our rebellion, he loves us and he comes after us in Jesus Christ. He took our nature upon himself, becoming a human being. He lived a perfect life of love. He had no sin of his own for which atonement was necessary. And then on the cross, he identified himself with our sin and our guilt. In fact, he was made to be sin. He was made a curse in our stead. And in that God-forsaken darkness on the cross, Jesus endured the condemnation that we deserve. And now, on the grounds of his sin-bearing death, if we come to him, he will lift the burden and he will give us rest, full and free forgiveness, together with a new birth and a new beginning. Jesus invites us to come to him if we're burdened. But what do we have to do? Nothing except come to him. Salvation is a gift, absolutely free and utterly undeserved. And there's no substitute for a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. Some people try to make it complicated, as they did in Jesus' day, by becoming wrapped up in the externals of religion. They go to church to be baptized. They go to the bishop to be confirmed. They come to a pastor to seek his or her counsel. They come to everything and everybody except the one who invites them to come, Jesus Christ. It's possible to come to all these other things except to the one who invites them and has the solution for it. But don't stumble over the simplicity of his invitation. Some years ago, there was a famous professor of Hebrew in Edinburgh University in Scotland. His name was Dr. John Duncan. He was known affectionately by his students as Rabbi Duncan because of his excellence in Hebrew. And so fluid was he in the Semitic languages that his students were convinced that he would say his bedtime prayers in Hebrew. So one night, two of his students crept quietly along the corridor of his bedroom and put their ear to the keyhole, where they expected to hear great flights of Hebrew rhetoric in his prayer. This is what they heard instead. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon a little child. Pity my simplicity, suffer me to come to thee. If a professor of Hebrew can do it, one deeply connected to God, I can see no reason why you and I shouldn't be able to do it either. Come to me, Jesus says, come to me. There's no qualifications, just come. The antidote to the burdens that you're bearing, to the weariness that you're feeling, is not a plan, it's not a program, it's not a process, it's not a pill, it's not a philosophy, it's a person. You need to come to Jesus. Just like I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, somewhere in some of our sister churches down in the southern United States, somebody would have said, amen. You know, it's really okay to talk back to us. It really is. You can. You know, if you find that we're saying something good, you can just go, mm-hmm, that's good, right? Talk to us. We need to come to Jesus. The second part of this invitation that Jesus offers us is he says, I want you to come to me, but then I want you to yield control to me. I want you to take my yoke upon you. And admittedly, this is a little bit harder for us to do. The reason we get overloaded and stressed and weary and burdened is that we try to do and control too many things in our own life. We act like it all depends on us. You know, I've got to hold it all together. If it's going to be, it's got to be up to me. I'm not sure God can handle this managing the universe thing, so I'm going to take my share and assist him in this project. But here's the reality of it. You can let go of it all, and the world is not going to fall apart. And I know for some of you, that's kind of news. But if you'd give up control, you'd come to realize that you had a lot less control than you first realized you did. The fact is, the greater your need to control things, the more stressed and wearied and burdened you are going to be as a person. If you want to lower your sense of being burdened in life, don't try to control everything. And that's why Jesus tells us here, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. Now, for those of us who aren't farmers, let me just remind you what a yoke is. He's talking about a wooden apparatus here, Jesus is, which joins two animals together, whether it's oxen or cattle or horses. And the purpose of a yoke is actually to make the load lighter. It's for the benefit of the animal. Instead of a harness which goes on one animal where the animal pulls all of the weight alone, a yoke helps two animals share the load. The weight is cut in half. The yoke has a lightening effect because the load is being shared. And so Jesus says, I want you to take my yoke on you because my burden is easy and it's light. Right? A yoke is a symbol of two things, both of which will reduce your sense of being burdened in life. First, a yoke is a symbol of partnership, right? It's saying, listen, you weren't meant to carry it all by yourself. Jesus says, I'll take part of your load. I will help you share the load. We're in this thing together. He's saying, join up with me, connect with me, get yoked with me, and I will help you bear life's burdens. It lightens your load. He says, my yoke is easy. Is your yoke easy? If you're feeling overloaded right now, if you're feeling stressed out at this moment, one thing is probably true. You're not wearing Jesus's yoke. Because Jesus says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. A yoke is also a symbol of submission or surrender. A yoke is meant to guide, to control, to direct. The load is lighter, but in return for a lighter load, you give up control. That's why the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 5 that we're to stay in step by the Spirit as we live by the Spirit. When you're yoked together, you stay in step. When I'm yoked with Jesus Christ, we move together in the same direction at the same pace. It's impossible for you to go a different direction from Christ when you're yoked to him. It's impossible for you to go faster or slower. You stay going in the same direction and at the same pace. Right, one of the benefits of being yoked with Christ is that it keeps you from going off in the wrong direction, getting your life all messed up, falling into a ditch and experiencing all kinds of problems. When you're yoked with Christ, he takes you in the right direction and he leads you at a doable pace. You know, for those of us who are living in Edmonton in 2015, I think one of the things that we need more than anything is a pace setter. Is God going to go faster than you can handle? No. God wants you to live a measured life. God is not going to give you more things to do and to do them more quickly. He won't. He says, take my burden on you. We'll head in the same direction and at the same pace. You know, it's funny, when you read the New Testament, you never see Jesus running anywhere. You never see him looking at his sundial saying, oh, I'm late, I gotta go. He never hurried anywhere. He went at the right pace in the proper direction. You're going to be yoked to something in life. Some of you are yoked to your career. It's become your master. Your life revolves around your job. Some of you are still yoked to the expectation of your parents. You're still subconsciously trying to please them and prove something to them. Some of you are yoked to peer pressure, and you're doing a whole bunch of different stuff to try to please people. Others of you are yoked to the desire to acquire. You're working harder to get more and more stuff you don't need. Some of you are yoked to all different kinds of things. You're going to be yoked to something in life, and my suggestion is that you yoke yourself to that which gives you life. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The word for easy in Greek means completely, perfectly fitted. It actually means custom made. When God puts a yoke on you, it fits. You don't get blisters or calluses. It's a customized yoke for you to handle. It's perfectly fitted. It's based on how God has shaped you. And Jesus says here, take my yoke. So implicitly, there's an exchange. He's saying, your yoke is not working. Take my yoke. It's light. It fits perfectly. The sense of being burdened in your life will go down. Partner with. The truth of it is, most of you don't just have one yoke in your life right now. You've got a dozen. Some of you are carrying a financial yoke. You're feeling burdened by some of the bills that you're facing. Maybe you have a health yoke, a concern about a future. You're yoked to that. You got relational issues you're yoked to. All of these things and many others can burden you. The answer is to not go on a vacation. The answer is to give up control. And every time you yield control to God, he gives you peace. Jesus says, take my yoke on you. So here we have Jesus making this grand invitation. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But this grand invitation comes with a challenge. And let me wrap up by saying this. Jesus said, the challenging part of this is that we need to learn to trust him. Jesus says, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. Jesus modeled for us how to live a life of purpose and peace rather than one of pressure and anxiety. Jesus lived intentionally and peacefully because he did not live by pressures, but by priorities. And he looks at us and he says, I want you to come to me and I want you to learn from me. Watch how I live. Follow my model. I will teach you. Be a disciple. Learn from me. It means that we truly become his disciples, that we regard him not just as our Savior, but as our Lord, our teacher. And what Jesus is inviting us to do is to come to him and learn from him so that we can walk in the way of freedom. And learning is a process. It takes time. You didn't get weary and burdened in a day. You're not going to get out of that situation that you're in overnight. You might have to unlearn a bunch of different habits. You might have to relearn to live life Jesus' way, to listen to his words, to walk with him, to then do his works. This takes time. What was Jesus' secret of peace? You can read the Gospels and over the Gospel of John, and over again in that book it says, I only do what my Father tells me to do. I only say what my Father tells me to say. He's at work in this world, and I just put myself in a place where I can be a part of what he's doing. He lived a life of simple obedience, and he was gentle, and he was humble. He didn't worry about the rest. And finally, the promise that Jesus makes us is that when we come to him, when we yield control to him, when we learn from him, that he gives us exactly what we need, and that is rest. It's not normally something you think about, coming to Jesus for rest. You might think about coming to Jesus for salvation, for forgiveness, for a sense of purpose, for wisdom. But Jesus says, no, I want you to come to me for rest. What kind of rest? Rest for your soul. This is much deeper than physical rest. It's soul rest. It's spiritual rest. It's emotional rest, mental rest. Our problem in being burdened and being heavy laden is not overworked muscles. Truth is, most of us could stand to work a few more of our muscles. Our problem is an overworked mind. It's overworked emotions. It's dealing with a packed schedule, overcommitted life, and the anxiety and the burden that results from that. It's dealing with the tension of too much, too fast, too loud, too often. It's soul rest that we need. And this is what Jesus invites us to. Jesus is offering you something you desperately need in life. As we head into a time of prayer, listen to these words that Jesus spoke out of the Message translation. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. Oh, that sounds good. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly. Some of you here today are living right on the edge. The truth is, you may have even had thoughts this week of not just what's the point of it all, but do I even want to keep going? Maybe I ought to end it all. And life has become so burdensome to you, so weary, you're wanting to be done. And right where you're at, Jesus comes to you and he says to you, I have something you need. I'm going to invite you to something that will change everything. I'm inviting you to a different kind of life. Life that has an eternal quality about it, where you're doing life together with me, where I'll teach you to live life my way, where you'll take my yoke on you, my way of doing life, my teachings, where you will enter into life that is true, but you'll live lightly and you'll live freely. Come to me, he says. Yield control to me, learn to trust me, and you will experience rest. Let's pray. I'm going to give you a moment of quiet here, just where you're sitting with your head bowed. Worship team is going to come on stage. Where you're at, just take a moment in the quiet to look Jesus in the face and consider the weight of what it is that he is offering you in this life-changing invitation. Take a moment. What is it that's weighing you down? What is it that you're being burdened by right now? What problem are you facing? Is there a conflict or a challenge in your life? An issue in your marriage? Concern at work, problem at home with one of your children, something going on in your financial world, maybe a challenge that you're facing with your aging parents, maybe you have your own health issues. What is it that is weighing you down? Have you turned to Jesus? Are you moving toward him and accepting his invitation, the offer of something you desperately need? He wants to be your partner. He wants to be your pace setter. Will you accept his grand invitation? If you want to do that, you can pray this prayer. You can say, Heavenly Father, I am tired of being tired all the time. I've grown weary of trying to control so many things. I feel like I'm burdened with a life that has no rest and no peace. Forgive me for all the times I've turned to other things for relief instead of turning to you. I want you to be the pace setter in my life. I want to stop trying to control all the things I have come to realize I really have little to no control over in the first place. Forgive me for my arrogance. Forgive me for allowing my insecurities and my ego to cause me to overload my life. Forgive me for filling my life with less important things, less worthy pursuits, so that it's crowded out that which is the most important thing, and that is life together with you. So Jesus, I come to you, and I want to take your invitation to have life that is free, where I can live lightly. I want to learn from you, Jesus. I want to learn to be gentle and humble like you, so that I can have the rest and the peace that you alone offer. thank you, Jesus, for offering me something that I truly need. And friends, we're really on the threshold of a new season of ministry here at Grace Point. And today can be the first day of a whole new season in your life where you're coming to Jesus and you're truly putting your burdens down at His feet. And you're taking that yoke off you that is just sucking the life right out of you. And you can take on His yoke and His burden, which is easy and light. Oh, it can be different for you. It can be so different for you. You can live in a new way from this day forward. Don't let this day go without saying yes to Jesus and this grand invitation of life, of rest, of peace. Heavenly Father, it's an amazing truth that we find freedom under your yoke. It's one of the great paradoxes of the Christian life that with Jesus' yoke, we find rest. Through service, we find freedom. When we lose ourselves in loving, we find true life. And when we die to our self-centeredness, to living our own agenda, we really begin to live. Oh, help us catch that, Father. In your Spirit, help us to see what is it you're inviting us to. So, Jesus, we cling to you. Not just today, but this afternoon, tomorrow morning, and from this day forward, we take your yoke upon ourselves. So Jesus, we worship you. We thank you for your word that continues to teach us. We thank you that we've got opportunity this week to continue to meet with you every day, to hear your words being spoken to us in your word through prayer, through the powerful teaching of other people. So Father, we want to listen to you. But we also give you thanks for the opportunity that we have now to worship you by giving a portion of our income back to you. We thank you that we are truly blessed. And so we worship you now by giving you the first part of our income on this first day of the week to truly underline the fact that you are to be first of all things. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Ushers, come forward. May God bless you as you give.
Don't look to the right or to the left, but keep your eyes on me. You will not be shaken, you will not be moved. Oh, I am the hand to hold, I am the truth, I am the way.
Thank you that we can come to you for strength, for healing, because you are all that we need. Amen. Excellent. Well, just wanted to give you a few announcements here before we head out to the great barbecue. I have tasted, and it is good. So a couple things I just want to highlight here this morning. We have our normal fall hockey ball tournament, fall ball hockey tournament, happening September 26th, 27th. Last day for registration is today, so come and see me at one of our tables there to get registered for that fall ball hockey tournament. Secondly, we're going to skip to the September 28th, October 3rd. We are joining together with the Edmonton Area Ministerial Association to pray for our nation. This is something that we really want to do. We want to bathe our country in prayer, especially as the elections come in. And we will be partnering with them. They're trying to do, I think, a week straight of praying for 24 hours each day. And Grace Point is going to be one of the site hosts for that as well. So there will be more information coming in the next weeks. But please just look forward to that and take that opportunity to really pray for our country in these next few weeks. We do have a plan to protect session for youth. So those are aged grade 12 to 17 on September 22nd. So this is just for the youth on September 22nd to get plan protected so that you guys can help with the kids' ministries and the other ministries here. And finally, for the barbecue, a few things that I really want to highlight for you guys. We do have lots of families here with lots of kids. Parents, please supervise your kids when we're outside playing the games and the bouncy castles and to the car shows. We are outside, and you are still responsible for your kids. It's not a children's program out there as such. So please watch your kids out there. Volunteers, you will notice that there's some green posters if you've forgotten when you are volunteering. We have about 80 volunteers for today, which is phenomenal. So thank you so much for that. But you can see when you signed up if you've forgotten for that. Vote for the cars by 1:45. I'm going to say about 50 cars out there right now. I haven't been out there for about half an hour. So there are some beautiful cars, but we need your votes. The first place is going to get 2 tickets to an Oilers game, so there's a lot riding on this. So go and vote for your favorite car and support the car show that way by 1:45. And then finally, this is a great chance to get to know new people, to reconnect with friends that you may not have seen this summer, and to connect with some people from the community. We're hoping to have lots of people from the community here, so make sure to make people feel welcome. That is the Grace Point thing. I hope that you've all experienced that coming into Grace Point, that you feel welcomed, that you feel loved, and that's what we want to extend today as well. So it hasn't rained the whole time you guys have been here, so we're going to pray for that continually. But before we do, let's stand up and let's continue to worship this God that provides everything for us and also provides this great meal that we're going to be eating later. Who goes before me?
Pray that we would truly yoke ourselves to you this week, Jesus, and walk in the way of rest and peace. Amen. Thanks for coming today. We invite you to participate with us in the barbecue. You can head out either one of the auditorium doors and head to the gym. There's going to be people there greeting you and giving you name tags. Have a great time at the barbecue. Reconnect with people. God bless you as you go.